transformational change. Real people, real pain, real hopelessness, real healing. Witness firsthand the challenges that men and women from around the world faced head on, and how through their adversity they became stronger and happier. Battling a life-threatening illness, surviving an abusive relationship, overcoming addiction, suffering the heartbreaking loss of a child, wrestling with self-sabotaging thoughts, losing and finding love. These are just a few of the transformational stories that will encourage you and change your perspective in chaos to clarity. A global voice of the contributing authors bears their souls for you. Their unfettered honesty is a gift to all and connects us to the butterfly effect of universal oneness. Just as the flapping of a tiny wing can change weather patterns around the world, a small inspiration may impart positively on another's life. The tears shed from these stories may make waves on distant shores, and your peals of laughter may become someone's breath of life. Change is part of the natural order of life. In this inspirational book, authors Caganello and Canevas offer their expertise on the spirituality and psychology of change and explain why change is not only necessary, it's good for you. Welcome to the heart of our shared humanity. Discover hope for the future and a blueprint for your life in these life-changing pages. I'm Richard Dugan, your host on this special edition, a month-long look at the book, Chaos to Clarity. The entire month is devoted to authors from this book to help you and encourage you. Stay tuned. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. And keep this in mind. I have declared the year 2020, the year of perfect vision. So, let's go from chaos to clarity. Let's go from change to perfect vision here in 2020. The entire month of January, stay with us here on Tell Me Your Story. Now, let's go find out about change in chaos to clarity. And I want to thank you so much for joining us on this special edition of Tell Me Your Story. We are featuring throughout the entire month Chaos to Clarity. That is the book. It is compiled by the publishing company of Sacred Stories Publishing, and you can add a .com to that because that's where you will find your copy. You can purchase it through Sacred Stories Publishing of Chaos to Clarity and also read the stories of the guests we are having on this program as well as the others who are featured in the book, including today's guest who is joining us to talk about a subject that it borderlines along one of those subjects that I enjoy talking about, at least from the curiosity standpoint. But this goes much deeper. This really goes to the heart in more ways than one. Jess Kampmans, I thank you so much for joining us here on the program. It is really a pleasure to have you joining us here on this inaugural month, January 2020, as we here on Tell Me Your Story, we kick off 2020, the year of perfect vision. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Richard. I'm very honored and excited to be part of this.
It's something that we all face from time to time. A year, October of 2018, at least as far as this conversation is concerned, I suffered the loss of my dear, dear, beautiful Makushla. She was my white shepherd mix, who was one of the greatest caregivers I have ever known. She cared for a couple, three different dogs from certain ages. And I have to say that there have only been a few instances where I've actually spent much time I don't know, grieving, crying, lamenting. And at the same time, there are times when I sit and I think about her and I hope you're doing well and I wish you were still here walking on all fours, because near the end of her life, she couldn't walk on all fours, only on the front two. So I had to help her around. Grief and loss, those are the issues that we're talking about from your story. Is that correct?
Yeah. The basis of my story is within grief and loss that inspired me to understand from a different perspective.
And the title of your story within that category is The Invocation from Equus. Equus, I believe that's how it's pronounced.
Yes. Who? Equus is the horse collective.
Okay, I was just going to ask, who or what is Equus?
Yeah. So my life was inspired. I've always been a horse person. Horses have always been part of my life, but also the animals in general. And the amount of loss that came along with growing up with animals, really, I guess the invocation was the prayer, if you want to call it that, the prayer from them to dig deeper into the meaning of life. And that's essentially what my story is based around.
On the other side of healing is infinite inspiration. You and I would be in agreement on what you just said, because when my first wife, who was totally blind, walked down the stairs of the airplane with her first guide dog, who was a black Labrador named Yora, I swore I wasn't going to get attached to this dog, because I knew what was going to happen in 8 to 10 to 12 years. Well, you and I both know, as animal lovers, that don't work.
No.
It does not work. Now, you, I understand, grew up on a farm?
Yes, I did, in Alberta, Canada.
Oh, wow. And in growing up on this farm, obviously you were surrounded by all kinds of different animals. So what, from you were born on this farm and grew up with them from obviously as an infant?
Yes, the main animals on our farm were horses and dogs and cats. But my dad had raised cattle before, and I'm now married a dairy farmer, so immersed in all sorts of animals. I was riding horses before I could walk, and my animals were my confidants, and they were the ones that I was always turned to.
Well, I envy you your relationship with horses. When I am watching, say, the Kentucky Derby, or I'm watching a movie where they're showing maybe wild horses running or what have you, I am just in awe of how beautiful they are as they gallop across the landscape. Just magnificent creatures. And my understanding, and I would love for you to expound on this, is that when you are learning to ride a horse, you really do have to connect with that horse on a very deep level, don't you?
Yes, definitely.
Talk to us about that connection and how did you establish that connection for the first time? Was that shared with you that you had to do that?
I guess because I was so young at that point. I mean, I was riding in a backpack, but as I grew up with horses, it's very instinctual is the best way I can describe it. And I would say that anyone who has a connection with an animal, and that really is all of us, you don't have to learn it. It's just instinctual that you get on, and when you allow that connection to another being to come from a place of authenticity, there's rhythm, there's balance, and there's respect, and there's all of those things that just help you become that relationship. And so the best way I know to teach people this is by putting them on a horse bareback, and there's a whole process to it, but it's a relationship that builds, and then you kind of just become one with the horse, and it's such a beautiful thing that it's really an unlearning of all the things that we're taught, so we can learn to be at one with the animal, essentially, which is kind of what you went into when you talked about the black bob that stepped off the plane.
Mm-hmm.
But you're, right? It's just you have that feeling within you, and you just kind of let that feeling guide you.
When you are around new animals, either A, when you might bring new animals to your farm, your ranch, if you will, where you live today, or if you are visiting somewhere where you're going to come in direct contact with other animals, is there a first reaction, or are you just flat out, you're so connected to the animal world that these animals immediately respond to you?
That's a really good question. I guess it depends on the animal and the state that they're in. But what I've found as I've discovered my own authentic connection to myself is that I'm able to feel them and really tune into how they're feeling in the present moment. And so I've had animals that have come to my farm. Many of them have grown up, were born here and have grown up here. But the ones that have come from a different circumstance and come to my farm, they are the ones that are really big teachers for me, because they help me tune into the things that they're needing as opposed to what I think they might need, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I'm going somewhere else, actually, it almost seems to be easier when I'm off of my own premise, I guess, in part, because when they're not my own animals, because our own animals come to us to help us really learn those things that we need to as a soul, I believe. And when I'm out of my own circumstance and away from my own animals, it seems to be easier to pick up what they're wanting to share, if that makes sense,
Now, the comment I made about Yora coming down the gangplank and my perspective at that moment seemed to be the right position to take, knowing what I knew was coming in a scant decade or so. And so then I kind of put this to you, knowing what you know about the process of life, and obviously as an animal lover, I know the answer to this question, but I would love to have for you to address it. Why would you basically put yourself in front of that freight train? You know it's going to hurt.
I love that question. And I think for much of the first part of my life, that was what I needed to figure out. But it's really, and we just continually do it, even though we maybe on some level know the answer to it. And knowing that now, because it opens us up to a deep compassion that the animals have for us to help us really enable that within us so that we can offer that to others, is how I would best put it. And it's such a beautiful thing. I had an experience with a skunk once a couple of years ago. The skunk was eating our chickens, like, just on mass levels. And I finally tuned into this skunk. And what I got back was this feeling of love that I had never felt. It's hard to describe, because we as humans talk about love, but the deep, compassionate, overarching love that kind of filled my presence from this skunk was so much so that he wouldn't have got my attention had he not started eating my chickens, and I wouldn't have been able to connect to the animal world in a way that I did and understand this from him. And it was just such a beautiful thing. And so I guess that's really a long way around of bringing this back to putting ourselves in front of that freight train, like you said.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny when I observe life around me, you know, and I know that's the natural order of things. It's the way, it's the process, it's the cycle. And as many ancient wisdom teachings tell us, you know, from destruction comes rebirth and death and life and death and birth and death and birth and death. I mean, that's just, if you will, the natural order of the universe. And I'm wondering as far as, because I do want to get into these other aspects, but I'm wondering if maybe we need to rethink how we view this process, that first of all, there is an immortal quality to these animals, just as there is to us, correct?
Correct, yes.
So if we acknowledge that, then are they really gone?
That's a beautiful question. And I think, I mean, I feel like you have your answer and I have mine. And I believe that that's what the animals are here to teach us, is this greater immortal quality to not fear death, but see it as part of the cycle of life, so that we can, I guess, open ourselves up to the fact that that is, it's a universal truth. Anyways, is how I believe it and how I've witnessed it time and time again. And if you tune back into any animal that you've lost or any human being that you feel you've lost, in quotations, you can feel them.
Mm-hmm.
They're right there with you.
Well, I will say that this is probably the only instance where I would say go ahead and use the word loss, that we lose these individuals. Whereas if you use that same word with going on a diet to lose weight, you don't want to lose it because eventually you'll find it. But with individuals and animals, okay, I lost my dear friend in October. That means I'll find her again somewhere along the path of maybe this life or the next. And so maybe with that, I don't know that it necessarily minimizes the grief, does it?
I don't think it does, because we still, and that's the beauty of this immortality, if you will, is that it's a process, right? We have to move through that grief because it's part of the natural cycle. And animals, if you watch them and witness them in allowing them to have a voice, they do the exact same thing. They move through that grief process and that grieving process. But because they have no judgment around it, it's just part of the natural cycle of their life. When one of their members of the herd or one of their other family transitions.
What I find fascinating, I'd love for you to talk to us about this, is the awareness that the animal has about its impending transition. That's the word I like to use. We had a Siberian Husky. His name was Chemo, and he was he was one of the children of a family, a mother, father, and he had a sister, and they were a dog sled team. And one by one, he was losing these family members. First, he lost his father. Then he lost his mother. Then he lost his sister, and he's all alone. Well, when we moved to Santa Barbara and I built this dog run for him, he tried to escape a number of times and even successfully did so. And it was very dangerous because we live right near the highway. But fortunately, he never got close enough to be injured. In any event, he kept trying to escape. And this was maybe 6 months prior to his passing. And what I began to realize was, I knew he was old. And that they have this tendency to want to go off into, let's say, the wilderness, to die, to transition. Do you notice that with a lot of animals and with your, because it sounds like you have an intuitive connection. Have you picked up on the reason why they feel the need to separate from the herd, so to speak? And I use that in a general sense. To go off to leave the body.
Yes. And it's a beautiful thing when you recognize it for what it is and can honor that. And I've witnessed it time and time again. And because my animals are all domesticated, they really can only go so far, some of them. But the horses will often do it in the wee hours of the morning, right before the sun rises. And I've actually witnessed that from when I was a child, and I've lost horses often it is in those times when they know nobody will disturb them. And I think even for your dog, it was that knowing of, how to best put this into words, of them wanting to find that space where they can transition in a peaceful way. And if I relate it to some of my cats or anything, like, I know many of us lose animals in ways that feel tragic, but animals know how to leave their body easily and effortlessly, even though it might not seem like that to us. But it is their way of, how do I put this? They just seem to be able to know how to do it in a way that is quite a bit more effortless than we as humans seem to, because I think we're very attached to our bodies, whereas they're not. I don't know if you've had the experience or the knowledge of it, but I've had for sure at least one animal who has come back into my life at least twice now and be part of my life, one is a horse and one is a dog. And that animal soul really helped me understand this process. Well, I don't know if that answered your question, but...
Well, it does. It does indeed. And I think that it's... Maybe that's the thing. There's a certain element there where I wish they could teach us how we could gracefully leave our bodies, because some people do tend to do so kicking and screaming because there's so much fear, whereas animals, they just know and there is no fear. What about your perspective on your own bodily mortality and leaving the body? What are your perspectives?
I love that question. And I think if I can start back when I was a child, I greatly feared death. I remember that eventually my parents let me stay up till I would fall asleep because I was so afraid of dying and that I wouldn't wake up. And I think that was the best that they ended up, because they couldn't tell me, because they didn't know, because they were still alive in a body. And so it was actually the number of deaths of my own animals that were my greatest beloved that I lost that really helped me finally realize that it's just a body, and that as soon as they transitioned, they came back to me in a different way. And so that's actually really opened a doorway for me to no longer fear death and to be able to understand what happens when we transition. And I would also offer the perspective, I guess it would be a shamanic perspective, that we go through many cycles of death and rebirth in our life. And it's not necessarily leaving our bodies, though sometimes I do think that happens, and then we maybe kind of forget to fully come back in or embody ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But that might be for a whole other conversation.
Yeah. Go ahead.
To know that when we transition, that we are immortal. And anyways, that's my belief. And what the animals have showed me, and the number of them, and actually my own, I mean, to be able to tune into the aspect of spirit in those humans that I could say that I've, quote unquote, lost. I shared this with my youngest daughter the other day, and the smile on her face allowed me to know that she felt those great grandparents that she'd never met before, as much as I had known them when I was young.
Mm. Do you find talking about the subject of death, dying, transition, whatever word you want to use, loss and grief, do you find it difficult to talk about, or has it gotten easier since you wrote this story?
I would say that it's gotten easier in the last number of years, actually, when I kind of became aware that there is something else after we leave our bodies and die. And the story came about because of what actually happened here. I was doing a workshop for young girls with my horses, and during the workshop, my one mare, who had lost her mom in the birthing process, this mare had just given birth, if that makes sense. So this little brand new baby was a miracle because her mom wasn't even supposed to be there because it was the grandma of this brand new baby that had died giving birth to my mare. And so I shared the story with the girls, and this one little eight-year-old girl said, "Oh my gosh, you should write a book." And I finally realized how powerful that story was. And that story that I'm just telling you about is actually in the story that I wrote in the book, Chaos and Clarity. And all the girls had tears coming down their eyes because they understood what death means, but they also understood that this new little life wouldn't be here without what had been. And so I guess it actually has become quite a bit easier for me to talk about death because I fully believe in my own immortality and in everyone. And actually, I guess probably one of my greater movements is to help people understand and move through their own fear of death.
Mm. You have in the story that you have written a line here: equine facilitated learning equals energy plus healing plus horses. This is my path. Tell us about the equine facilitated learning.
Equine facilitated learning is, I guess, it's under many headlines, but it's essentially where the horse and show you who you are. And so you learn what is conscious and unconscious within you, and you learn how to become more aware of the energy and the information that you are holding or withholding, to kind of meld those in a way that creates more flow and more abundance in your life, I guess, if I could really summarize it. It's essentially the horses will show us who we are being. Mm. And horses will show us what is conscious and unconscious within us in a way that if we're open to it, we can receive that, because horses are, like all animals, non-judgmental in how they work. And horses are also animals, so they respond to the fight or flight. Whereas if you have something like a dog or a cat, they are considered a predator, and they respond and react differently than a horse would. Horses have that fight, flight, or freeze, as we do as humans, and they will show you those states of being that you maybe can't see yourself as being in. But when we get stuck in those states, the horse will show us in a way that offers a general open space to move through that.
I've seen so many programs that are out there that are using horses specifically, not exclusively, but specifically the equine that is being used to bring out the true person, if you will, in an autistic child, in someone who has experienced trauma in their past. I mean, just a myriad of different things. And I sit there and I marvel at the fact that these people have come across a method of healing that's been there all the time. And now all of a sudden, boom, I'm not saying they're cured, but boy, what a treatment that is. And it's like, you know, I don't have a lot of those conditions, but I'd like to sign up because I think it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And you're right. The horse itself has been doing this since they came into existence as Equus many years ago. And I think we're just discovering the capacity for them, and their heart field is, I forget what the number is, but it's far greater than the human heart field. And so that essentially means when you're in the presence of a horse, they will help regulate you. So you learn to self-regulate as essentially as a horse. You become more horse-like the more time you spend with a horse who is allowed to be in this, is allowed to be themselves in this healing type of environment. Because in order for a horse to be able to offer this kind of environment, they also have to have a voice so they can share with you what is going on with you, where you can receive it, and where they're allowed to be able to have permission to do all of what they need to do to kind of show you, if that makes sense.
Jess Campmans is my guest. Invocation from Equus. We're talking about the work that she is doing, working through a grief and loss, which is the category under which it appears in the book, Chaos to Clarity, which is available probably at your local bookstore, but more importantly, Sacred Stories of Transformational Change is available, Chaos Through Clarity, to Clarity, at the website of Sacred Stories Publishing.com. And boom, you're going to be taken there and you'll be able to read her story, Jess's story, as well as a bunch of others, folks we've had on that we've already had on the program and that are going to be on this program over the entire month of January 2020 as we celebrate, inaugurate, and begin the first of 12 months of 2020, the year of perfect vision. And we're talking about inner vision. Jess, when we talk about your story of loss and grief, of going through that process, one of the experiences that I have had that I impart to everybody who has a pet, regardless of what it is. And I will tell you that I have laid to rest not only dogs and cats, I've laid to rest a tortoise, a blue-tongued skank, which to me is a lizard, is a snake with legs, and does have a blue tongue, by the way. Never even thinking about it. And one of the lessons I've learned is that if you have other animals in your home, or in your case, your ranch, although I'm sure they don't necessarily intermingle, but in our case, they do. If you can allow the animal transitioning to do so in the presence of the other animals. Case in point, Chemo, when his father and mother and sister were taken to the vet to be laid to rest, he went nuts in mourning. I had never experienced that before in my life. But when we laid my dear Makushla to rest, we did it in our home here in Santa Barbara. The cats came over and laid next to her. One of the cats actually nuzzled her. This was even before the injections. With our dear cat Merlin, who passed away in our home, I laid him to rest and laid him in state, if you will, on the dining room table in a box with a laying on a towel, so that the cats could pay their respects for the day. Talk to us about that level of connectedness that we need to maintain within our little community of people as well as animals. And maybe even address the issue, because you've talked about your daughter, about having the children there. This is something that they need to be a part of, don't you think?
I very much agree. And I love that you have done this. And I think that there are many people that understand and offer this space for the animals, because it is our connection and our way to honor those who are transitioning in a way that honors their life, but gives us the space to move through that grieving process as well. Because I've heard countless stories of people who haven't been there for their pets or people who haven't been there for their family members, and it creates a disconnect. And they will tell you about the kind of suffering that it has created in their life because they weren't able to be part and be part of that process of that honoring and that respect and just holding space for. And I think that's the biggest thing, that connection to our dying offers, is be able to hold the space for them regardless of what happens, of whether they heal or whether they transition, because it's all, we're all connected. And when we can be part of creating that space for whatever it is that's happening, that instills, I believe, in both us and the other, is a quality that is indescribable, because it creates that deeper bond and that knowing, on a soul level, that they're not gone, that they've left their body. But and I'm sure you've witnessed this time and time again, if you've offered your animals this space, you can feel it. You can feel when they leave, you can feel that they're still there. But when you're not part of it, or when you don't allow them that space, it's hard maybe for them. I guess it would almost be like a tree falling in the forest kind of analogy. Right? If you're not there to hear it, did it really happen? And then I think if you kind of bring that to what we're speaking about, even those animals that didn't have that space held for them, I know a lot of people have had to have communication with their animals because their animals don't know that the people know that they've transitioned. And so there's this kind of in-between disconnect that once you create that connection again, it's healed, essentially, right? You've kind of created that connection for them to know that each other is still part of each other's life. And I think that giving that space for that when process of death is actually imminent or impending is just so needed, and so much a needed thing that's almost beyond words until you can experience it.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful.
Here's I call it a deep question for you. What do you know about what's after this life? I've got people that come to me and they ask me, Richard, I'm scared because I'm afraid there's nothing after this life. It's lights out. And I say, well, first of all, if there is nothing after this life, you aren't going to know it if there's nothing after this life. But my logical brain tells me that doesn't make any sense, considering all of the experiences that we have, the emotions that we feel, the learning that we go through, the awareness, the raising of our own personal consciousness that we do, this level of connectedness that we talk about constantly. It's like, really, this is it? And what a cruel, cruel joke that would be. But again, who knows? We believe, we have faith that. I'm curious from your perspective how what your thoughts in that regard are, because you've already used the word that I used earlier, immortal. We say that our souls are immortal, that essence part of us that animates the physical body and so forth. But, you know, where are you on that subject?
I love this question, because there are so many perspectives on it. And mine would be that, well, I can't be sure. Actually, even my heart and soul right now say, without a doubt, I know that when I leave this body, that's not the end, because there has been too much that has happened, not only in my life, but witnessing so many lives, animals and humans around me, that this isn't the end. There is so much so much that has happened in the beyond the body in my own life, in my experience of those that I have known that have been in a body and those that I know now are no longer in a body. And that that's what I believe and know to be true from my own experiences, is that this is just part of it, and that there is so much more that is beyond.
Well,
that's my experience of it, I guess.
Yes. Well, I will tell you that everybody's experience is valid because we're all trying to figure it out. We're all trying to understand it and make it through to the other side, so to speak. And it's just one of those things that I'm trying to put into perspective as well, so that I can help others at the very least to feel a little bit better about what comes next. And I think that that's extremely important from the standpoint that part of what this program is about is to give people the understanding that we have a greater, shall we say, a greater purpose in life than to spend it suffering. What, in your experience, and now I'm asking for a list of ingredients here, okay? What is grief? What is it? I mean, I want to throw words out, but I'm not going to. I'll let you answer the question. What is grief?
I would say a hard question to put into words, isn't it? I guess I can only talk about my experience, but it's actually changed. Although even in saying that, right now what's coming to me is my grandfather's funeral, and I remember looking around and thinking, why is everybody so sad? I must have to cry because this is supposed to be sad. But that tells me that on some level I knew that this wasn't the end. But if I can answer your question about what is grief, it is the process of the change of relationship that we have with that person or animal or tree or state of being. And because change is a process, and if they don't move through that process, part of change is letting something go so we can move into something else. And there is a sense of loss when you have to let something go. And we can talk about that letting go until we're blue in the face, but unless you actually allow it to move through you, which involves a cathartic experience, then we stay in suffering instead of grief. Grief is, and this, I'm trying to really put it best into words, but that's what's coming to me as how I can best describe it.
Well,
so the ingredients, I guess, would be it just comes back to me anyways. It boils down to that change in relationship. And it doesn't mean that it's easy, because it never is. But it's helping us move into something, I'll use the word different, because it doesn't always mean it's better or greater or anything. It's just helping us move into something else.
It's one of those definitions that it is hard to define because of what it is. Matter of fact, one of the thoughts that came to me was that it's maybe it's regret. You know, we regret the fact that we didn't do this, that, or the other thing with this person. And I don't know that that's necessarily true. I'm just kind of throwing that out as a possibility. I mean, why would you grieve if you didn't regret having not said to that person or animal, I love you. I am appreciative of the fact that you were in my life and so on and so forth. And yet I'm sure that during their lifetime that you were associated with them, at least at one time or another, you must have said that to them. And that counts for a lifetime. It's like, okay, it's great to say to your loved one, to your significant other, your children every day, I love you. 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 That's wonderful. And you say it with heart. But if you miss a day, how is that self-condemnation? You know what I'm saying?
I do. Yeah.
It's just really, go ahead.
I guess, yeah, what comes to me right now, we lost my brother-in-law. They had just had their fourth child was 6 weeks old, and it was quite tragic. And that changed everything in an instant. And with that, that was the one that kind of came to me as you were talking. There is so many things that we as humans have to move through because of how we interpreted what was going on up to that point. But on the flip side, you're 100% right in that if we said it once, it is for a lifetime. And I remember that in that instant of my sister-in-law saying to him, "You do whatever you need to, because I'm not going to ask you to stay or to leave. You do what you need to." And she let him have to do what he needed to so that he could transition. And I believe in that moment, and I think she, like, this was not easy for her. But it gave way for all of those feelings of things, like you said, regret or anything that comes up with grief, to be able to move in a way that instead of holding on to things that we didn't do or we could have done or we should have done, it allowed for something else.
I remember when a dear friend of ours passed away. There's something about September and October in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
A dear friend of mine passed away on the 10th of October, 2003. And I remember, of course, we followed the ambulance to the hospital, and then they transferred him to another one. We went there and so forth, and then he was declared brain dead, and they asked us to say our goodbyes because they were going to harvest the organs. And so eventually we said our goodbyes and went on our way. And over the next 24 hours, we were, of course, both exhausted, so we slept a lot. And I remember waking up that Saturday morning in a rage, absolutely angry as hell over the fact that he left. And the thought that occurred to me was, who the hell am I to jump all over his case, first of all, because he's gone, and second of all, he probably had no control over the aneurysm. Who am I to say, how dare you leave without, you know, doing this, that, or the other thing with me? You know, what arrogance. And I have to wonder sometimes if when we get into these states, to me, that's a regret on my part. That anger came from regret, but more regret that he didn't give us. I was blaming him. I was the victim, and he was the perpetrator of this crime, that it didn't give me enough time to learn from him. You know, and I don't know if you've seen there's this documentary on death that I saw several years back. And what they were doing is they were going around the world, and they were documenting the ways in which different cultures, deal with it. And they were in this one tribe in Africa that told them, okay, we're now going into a phase where you and your crew have to leave because we can't guarantee your safety, because they were going into the angry phase and it got messy. What about that aspect of the grieving process, or any of the other emotions? Does that fall under the same category that you just described? Not to say that there's a clean and easy way to grieve over someone going on to the next world, unless, what do you think? Maybe we begin the process of redefining and taking a different perspective on what it is, what it means, and this person that's going on to the next world. I mean, you'd think, you hear the phrase, we celebrate, let's celebrate their life. Why don't we celebrate the fact that they get to move on to the next level that we'll eventually join them on? I mean, that should be exciting. We should be elated and happy, right?
But we're not, yeah.
But we're not.
no. Yeah. And you're 100% right. And all of us, I think I had even said it in my story. It never is easy, right? Just because you understand the process, it doesn't make it any easier to move through it. And all of those emotions, and that's a perfect example, I think, that everyone had to leave because for their safety, because we get angry and we get disgusted and we have regret, and there's so many things that come up that I think if they have been part of our life, that person or these feelings, and their aspects that we haven't really, I don't want to say looked into, but if we haven't allowed ourselves to move through them, then they're there to, for us to face at that point in time. Does that mean the next time someone else passes that we're not going to have to move through all of those again? Not at all. Because with each relationship that we have as a human being, regardless of what that is with, when we are faced with the loss of something, there are all these things that came up that maybe we feel that we didn't work through in our time during that relationship. And so those things, it's kind of like pulling a rug out from under us. Here you go. You can now, these are all of yours to move through at this point in time. And that can be a bit overwhelming. And I guess, if I just bring that back to my own experience, there was a number of horses that I lost where it was, I don't know, 5 or 6 or 7 in a row in the span of a year or 18 months. Wow. And the trauma that those horses moved through in order to pass was actually my own traumas that were stuck in my body and that I had accumulated. And as each one of these horses died this tragic death before they transitioned, all of those things, it made me sick to my stomach, but they also all came out for me to deal with at that point. And so I'm not going to classify that and say that will be everyone's experience of it. But I know that for me, all of those things that I felt about myself, that I felt about my relationship with other beings and other things and how I lived my life, they all kind of came out at once in how all of these horses that each meant something different to me, how they all passed. And so if I can kind of relate that back, that we all as human beings come here and we have these experiences, and there are a number of things that each of us have to move through or grow through, I guess, if you want to kind of use those words. And when we have beings in our life that we lose, quote-unquote, that's when we're faced with those things that we have to kind of come to terms with. And so if you want to call it processing or experiencing it or moving through it or whatever, I guess that's, I don't know if that's kind of an answer to this question that you have, but that's the best way in kind of a roundabout, generalized way that I see it or I've experienced it, again, in my own life. And it doesn't make it easier, but on some sense it actually helps, because each time you move through all of those emotions, it does get easier to move through them. But again, that's my experience of mm-hmm. it.
I've often heard it said, sometimes by me, at least this has been my perspective, maybe up to this point, and I think I'm going to shift it just a little bit, but if it gets easier with the passing of each animal and or person, it shouldn't. It shouldn't become a commonplace. But at the same time, and this is where my question comes from, maybe it should. It shouldn't have to be hard any more than it should be hard to trade in your old, you know, pickup truck for a new one. You know, what's the big deal? You're getting a brand new pickup truck and the old one served its purpose and you're moving on. Because isn't that really all we're doing is changing vehicles?
That's a perfect example, and I would love to share something because it feels quite relevant. My husband, a number of years ago, rolled his truck in a bad accident, and the next truck he got, I was so mad at it, and I hated it. I refused to drive in it with him, which is funny that you bring that analogy. I think because of the accident, there was so much that I hadn't kind of dealt with him rolling his truck and walking away from it, that as soon as he got this new truck, I couldn't stand it. And so funny is the best word I have sometimes, but it's funny to me that you brought up that example. And it doesn't matter if it's an animal or a human, or in this case, this truck, that all of that anger, all of those regrets, all of those, everything that we've been talking about, I put into that new truck. And because of the fear and everything else that had been part of that accident that he had walked away from, by some saving grace, that because he should have died in that. And so I guess if I bring it back to your original question, it doesn't get easier, but I don't want to say it does, but by having, I guess, an understanding, I guess it would be kind of like cellular memory. You now know, you now recognize those emotions as they come up, and you can maybe easier be part of them, or easier, because an emotion is just showing us information as something, right? And when someone passes, all of this information that we maybe had not shared with them through our life, let's say, and I can even use my example of my husband in that accident where he rolled his truck and then had to get a new one, there was a ton of stuff that I hadn't said to him that I think all of a sudden I realized, had I lost him, what then? Like, and so that all, because he's still alive, that didn't really matter. That all had come up within me and had to still be processed and moved through me. And so I put it into this new truck, projected it on that truck. And so does it make the experience of it easier? Yes and no, right?
Yeah.
Yes, in a way that as long as you that you maybe now know, you're familiar with, and you have that cellular memory of how this all kind of worked, but it doesn't take away the fact that you still are moving through all of that, because with each relationship that we have, not only with ourselves, but with anything else in our life, there is a relationship. And as it changes, all of those things that are part of it have to kind of change with it, I guess.
Mm. Got one, I don't know if I guess I might call this a tough question for you. And I've answered this question on many occasions on this program. Are you ready to go?
Am I?
If today was your day and your departure ticket was stamped for the for this date in time, are you ready?
Yes.
Not many people would say that. And I say yes, too. Are there more things that I want to do? Are there more things that you want to do? Sure.
Yes, for sure. No, you're right. And I would have no regrets.
Hear, hear. Tell me about, because I'm looking at one of the, it is not the glitziest, it is not the fanciest, but I tell you what, it's one of the best looking websites I have ever seen. Because of the subject matter, and it is jesskampmans.com, and it is showing photograph after photograph after photograph of some of the most amazing creatures on this planet, and that is picture after picture of the horses on your ranch. Is it pronounced Butte Morgans?
Yes.
Butte Morgans, he's got, and he's your husband, right?
Yes, Chris is my husband, yeah.
And you both have separate parts of this website, but you're both, I am mesmerized by these animals and their beauty. Sometimes just standing still and their coats are just shimmering, shining their flanks and their shoulders and their necks. And again, I know there are other names for the parts of the horse that
you can see. You're doing well.
I don't spend a lot of time around the horses, even though I've been accused of looking like a cowboy when I walk around Santa Barbara because I do wear a cowboy hat and so forth. But you also have, this is what's really cool, folks. I love this. Journey of the Horse Wisdom Oracle. Before we run out of time, tell us about this. It's more than just a deck of cards.
It is. It is my life with these Morgan horses that came into my life starting in 1991 when I was about 12 years old. And it is accumulation of all of the Morgan horses that imparted their wisdom and learning and helped me essentially overcome my fear of death and overcome my lack and inability to be authentic, to really embody who I am now. And so it is an oracle deck. That is what is coming into being. And they started... I started channeling their wisdom back in 2016, and then eventually over the last couple of years realized what this wanted to become. And so the Journey of the Horse Wisdom Oracle is a progressive and cumulative journey where each week I share one of the horses that have been part of my life and their wisdom and their story of how they were part of my life and the impact that they made and the insight that they offer as a universal teaching, because at the basis of everything, the animals are all here, as far as I know and know to be true and believe. They're here to teach us the basic components of what it means to live a compassionate and inspired life. And these horses have taught me that and so much more. And so this journey is kind of a guided journey where I share each horse every week, and there's more to come next year in 2020, the year of clarity and 2020 vision, that will create the final last four cards of this 50-card deck and the stories of these Morgan horses. So I am super excited about it, and every week I share a story, it brings me to tears just because of the experience that I remember, and I've had so much great feedback on it. So I would love anyone who is interested in it to join me and the horses.
It's super. You also have a book. Not just the articles.
There's a book.
Right?
Yeah, there's a book that accompanies it, and it will share it's the invocation, so the prayer, the channeled message from the horse, and then there is an illumination, so with the kind of the teaching that the horse is offering, and then I forget what I call it, but it's like an activation, so how you kind of bring that wisdom through your body and bring it out into the world, and then the story behind the horse.
What a great release for the year of perfect vision here in 2020. I look forward to seeing these cards. I just the pictures I'm seeing of different horses on one side. I applaud you and your husband for the work you're doing, not only with horses, but with people and connecting them with the horses and also being a part of Chaos to Clarity as well. You also have all kinds of other things going on, a monthly intuitive horse wisdom group guidance, phone calls and retreats, and just all kinds of neat stuff that you can find out about on your website. And again, it's Jess Campmans.com, JessCampmans.com. We will be linked to your website as well. And I also want to thank you for being a contributor to this wonderful book that the Sacred Stories Publishing Company has put out called Chaos to Clarity, Sacred Stories of Transformational Change, the foreword by Bernie Siegel. And again, we thank you so much for being here on the program. And I know you're all the way up there in Canada. I know it'll be a long horse ride down here to Santa Barbara, but I'm going to extend the invitation anyway. If you got to put them on a plane, bring them. We'd love to have you in Santa Barbara to continue this conversation. Bring your husband along. I'm sure he's got some great stories to tell as well.
Thank you so much, Richard. This is an honor to be here
and before
and be part of the book.
Absolutely. And before we let you go, I have three final questions. I don't know if they're the easy ones. I don't know if they're the hard ones. But I like to ask these of my guest at the end of every program, and you are no exception. You may have answered them in a manner of speaking throughout the interview, but I like to ask them pointedly. The first one is, who is Jess Campmans?
Who is I know her now is an intuitive, empathic human who is inspired by sharing her own experiences with the world and can tune into people to offer them what it is that will help them. Someone who loves animals and who loves her family and who loves being here right now.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
I guess it would be just that, what I said, is to help people and animals be their best self and grow into what it is that they I use the word need, but also desire, I guess, in this lifetime by connecting them to something that they are disconnected from in a way that makes them more whole.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
Mm-hmm. I think that it's to inspire. That word lights me up, and that seems to be my passion. I'm inspired. What I'm inspired to do, I feel inspires others. And so I think if there's one word that defines my life purpose, that would be it.
Jess Kampmans, I thank you again for joining us here on the program. This has been a delight, and I look forward to having you back on again later in the year, maybe to talk more about the horses and the work that you're doing up there in Canada and how that's expanding to other parts, not only of the country, but for that matter, the world. And again, my great appreciation for your being on the program. And I thank you for listening to Chaos to Clarity edition of Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Chaos to Clarity is available through the publishing company of SacredStoriesPublishing.com. I'm sure Amazon and all of the other outlets online, and maybe even in your own bookstore. If it's not there, you should ask them to get it. And we hope that you will join us again next time for another edition of Tell Me Your Story, Chaos to Clarity, here in 2020, the year of perfect vision. And until next time, love, Talal.